Good evening, and welcome to this service on New Year's Eve around the Labyrinth. Those of you that are watching at home or wherever you are that is not here, there is a picture of this labyrinth on the cover of your program. And I want to say a few words about this pattern. There's a whole book written about it by Lauren Artress called Walking a Sacred Path. So if you really want to delve into all the geometry, the ancients, this is 13th century, we think, they spent a lot of time with the proportions. This was in the floor at Chartres Cathedral. And if you collapsed the rose window wall, it would land right on the rose in the center of the labyrinth. So there's a lot of care that went into the design. And there's something about that care that translates to me as power. There's something just in the shape and the particular proportions that creates a great deal of power. There are many kinds of labyrinths, but this one is my favorite. So a labyrinth is different from a maze because there's only one path. So on this one, you follow the white, but you enter down here at the foot. You follow the white wherever it goes. And like life, it twists and turns, and you think you're coming to the center, and the next thing you know, you're out on the outside again. And it does that in the four quadrants, and you'll notice that the four quadrants form a cross. The design at the center is a stylized rose, and when you have walked all the way to the center, you can stay in the center as long as you'd like. Some people like to pray, some people like to sit and meditate, some people like to do a happy dance or whatever strikes you, and then you reverse the path out. We ask that you do this without shoes for keeping the labyrinth clean. It's not a desacralization or anything, but if you need your shoes in order to walk well, we'd rather have you walk it, shoes and all. There are some clean socks out in the narthex over in the lobby where for people who might want to use socks and but if you are barefoot, that's fine. The 13th century was a time when the Crusades were still going on, and we believe that this labyrinth in the floor at Chartres substituted for pilgrimages to the Holy Land. At various times during the Middle Ages when the Crusades were going on, Jerusalem was owned by the Christians, or it was held by the Muslims or by the Christians again, and it kept being gone back and forth and back and forth. So when a pilgrim could not get to Jerusalem, they could come to Chartres and walk this. Some walked it on their knees as a penitence. Generally, it's a threefold path. When you go in, you let go. Purgation is the spiritual word we use. When you get to the center, there is illumination, insight. And then when you reverse out, you're different. And it's traditionally known as union. So I have discovered, and when I've walked the labyrinth, that it can happen anywhere on the labyrinth. Illumination can happen anywhere. Letting go can happen anywhere. If you find yourself being emotional, that is perfectly fine. We welcome emotions. Sometimes tears come, and they are usually a sign of a great release and healing. A word about our music. It's in the style of Tizet, which is chant-like. We repeat the same words over and over again. This quiets what the Buddhists call the monkey mind and helps that deep part of us, which is always with God, to be known. And that, so that's what, why we do the kind of music that we do. Some of the chants are in Latin. And if Latin does not fall trippingly off your tongue, feel free to sing them in English, even while we are singing in Latin. And you may hear us change from Latin to English. But the important thing is to sing, because, as St. Augustine said, the Christian who sings prays twice, because music has that. So do not, and John Wesley said, do not be afraid of your voice any more than you were when you sang the songs of Satan. So be sure to join in. If you happen, you can walk the labyrinth anytime during the service. You don't have to wait for anyone else. Thank goodness we're through the worst of COVID. So all you want to do is just give the person in front of you a little head start. You will meet some people will be walking it in different speeds. You'll meet them. You just step aside, let the person go by. If you're walking faster than the person in front of you, just step around. There's no problem with people moving at different speeds. This is, again, a metaphor for life. If you find you are lost, that too is a metaphor for life. And Lauren Artress tells the story of a woman who went all the way into the center and then just turned around and walked out. And she said, when she realized what she'd done, she said that was such a metaphor for her life that she didn't finish things. So you never know what this walk will tell you. Later on, I will give instructions for, we do special healing prayer if you want it, although I find this whole service healing. And I believe without any further ado, we will begin singing. Thank you.
Jesus, our hope. Your gospel enables us to sense that, even in dark times, God wants us to be happy. And the peace in our hearts can make life beautiful for those around us.
For everything, there is a season.
And a time for every matter under heaven.
A time to be born.
And a time to die.
A time to plant.
And a time to pluck up what is planted.
A time to kill.
And a time to heal.
A time to break down.
And a time to build up.
A time to weep.
And a time to laugh.
A time to mourn.
And a time to dance.
A time to throw away stones.
And a time to gather stones together.
A time to embrace.
And a time to refrain from embracing.
A time to seek.
And a time to lose.
A time to keep.
And a time to throw away.
A time to tear.
And a time to sow.
A time to keep silence.
And a time to speak.
A time to love.
And a time to hate.
A time for war.
And a time for peace.
That which is already has been.
That which is to be already is.
And
God
seeks
out what has gone by.
Thank you.
So those who are on the labyrinth are in a walking meditation. And those of us that are in the seats may wish to enjoy this guided meditation. Both can, of course. If you are not walking the labyrinth, there is a finger labyrinth out on the table, and it has grooves, and you can close your eyes and run your finger in that labyrinth while it rests on your lap. You just pick it up and bring it in here so that you're comfortable, and you can walk the labyrinth with your fingers. So let's get really into our bodies in a way that maybe we don't do except through this kind of meditation. So just notice your feet if you're walking the labyrinth. Sometimes you can hear the sound of feet and the canvas if we listen. And you notice where your feet are. And if you're sitting, notice the chair that is supporting you, the sit bones that are part of your anatomy that support you. And your curvy spine goes from the sit bones up and balances your head on top. And just notice how your breath is moving. You don't have to fix it or change it. It's going in and out at its own pace. And if during this meditation or the long silence that follows, you find your mind wandering, simply bring your awareness back either to your feet or the seat that you're sitting on or your breath. And we're just going to take a little journey from the wisdom seat, which is known in the East as the sixth chakra or the third eye. So that point right in your forehead, right above your nose and eyebrows, where oftentimes our temperature is taken in the early part of the pandemic. If you start there with your imagination, and in your imagination, you go right into the center of your skull, right between your ears, behind your nose. That's about where the top of the spine is. And there are 7 vertebrae in the neck, and we're going to use them as stepping stones into the heart space. So the wisdom that we have in the third eye, we're going to bring down into the heart. So we take step number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now we enter the chest, which is the domain of the physical heart, but our heart's electromagnetic field extends as much as 3 feet in all directions. And now we're bringing that wisdom into the seat of compassion. So we have wise compassion and compassionate wisdom. This is the place within us where our divine self and God dwell. This is where we are one with everyone and everything in the whole universe with its billions and billions of stars. And the grains of sand, billions and billions of them. And all the animals and plants and everyone we've ever known or ever will know, living or passed over, those people are with us in that space. And we only have to bring our awareness to that space to be with them and with God. So we are going to be in silence for about 10 minutes. And as I said, if your mind wanders, that's fine. Those of you that are on the labyrinth, you may keep walking. And we will see what the Spirit has to say. When Jesus was walking the earth, his disciples noticed that he was a man of great prayer, unlike anyone that they knew. And they asked him to teach them how to pray. And he taught them, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So we come to that portion of the service where if you would like individual prayer for healing, I will be in the chair over on the opposite side of the altar. And those of you that are at home, if you want to get a little bit of oil, it could be olive oil or any kind of oil that you have, and a Q-tip or a piece of cotton to anoint yourself or someone with you. We do this as a sign of sealing the prayer in a way that was an ancient ritual. So in order to let it be confidential, if someone is in the chair, you can just wait, and then when they're finished, you can come up. We will be singing, invite you to sing and keep walking. This is just an opportunity for those who might want some extra prayer. And here at the crux of a new year, where the old is passing away and the new is unknown and coming, know that we do not walk alone. Wherever we walk, whatever our path takes us, we are always companioned. We call that companion the Holy Spirit, but it might show up as Jesus or God, but we are never alone. And so knowing this, you may go out into this new year, confident that you are loved and that you are companioned in peace. In Jesus' name, I send you out, and we all go in peace. And Happy New Year. Thank you.